Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I see light mango.
Dave Wunstedt.
5 o'clock. Make sure someone write that down for Alex so he has it, okay?
Tanner, you write that down for Alex.
Write that down for Alex so he knows.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wunstedt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wunstedt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but.
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Absolutely. Anyway.
Dave Wunstedt runs this town.
What are we talking about here?
How about
the Cubs, man?
Sure.
I love it. I mean, now they got me on the edge of my seat, sitting there nervous. Oh, God.
You're a baseball guy.
I'm a baseball fan, absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to the, when the Cubs, it was game five, they were playing Cleveland here when they won the World Series. I was still working for Fox in L.A. at the time. So I went up to the, Jan and I, my wife, we went up to the Fox compound. And it's, I guess I can say this on the air. So it's Frank Thomas, A-Rod, and Pete Rose are doing the pre-post game. They do their deal, and we go into the trailer, and we're going to eat, and we're sitting there. And afterwards, they leave, and, Alex had his 6-7 notes on both teams, and so did Frank. And Pete had one card. God bless Pete. And we had some great stories because I was a big fan of his back in those years. Supposedly the card said like Notre Dame plus 6 or something. and that was it.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Damn right it is. In Naples right now, it's past 5 o'clock. We've got Dave Wunstedt with us here in studio. Our segment with Coach is brought to you by Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Coach, before we get to all the football goodness, and cheers, by the way, because it is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes, cheers, absolutely. A little taste here,
There you go. Alex took care of it.
Looks like he poured a good drink this time, Coach.
He did. Well, was there an ice cube in here?
The ice melted. I poured it too early. See, last time I did this, I didn't pour it soon enough, and I got made fun of. This time, I poured too early. The ice melts.
There wasn't enough a couple times ago either.
Look, I got to say, Alex, I'm glad you went to a dry erase board class in college. Your bartending
class would have done some good.
Really would have
helped. The guy that walks in to a high-level steak place and orders, the bourbon, and he gets with ice, and the time he gets it, there's no ice.
Yeah.
What do?
You leave. That's what you do.
You're going to spend $30 on it. Oh, God. I'll tell you what.
Well, I know, Coach.
Now we're in the...
It's hard to get good help these days.
It is.
But,
Tanny...
Coach,
Tanny, you handle this next time.
It's all about Sunday, Coach. We'll have a couple of those on stage, maybe.
There you go.
Make sure there's ice cubes.
The folks at Four Winds Casino, I promise you, will make sure that the drinks are on point.
100%. All right, so I want to ask you a baseball thing. There's a game five tonight in this other series, Seattle-Detroit.
Absolutely.
And the manager, Dan Wilson, just said that George Kirby's starting tonight. Then the other three starting pitchers from the other games are all available in the bullpen. Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, and Bryce Miller. Lawrence loves to call that Johnny Allstaff, right? That's a unique thing about baseball when you get to the last game of the series, that everybody's available. Isn't that cool? Like, there's no real comp for football. It's not like you're going to use people in a different situation in a big football game. So that makes baseball kind of unique in that way.
Well, why would that be different than football or basketball? Everybody's available. If football right now, everybody's available. Are you talking about why wouldn't they be?
I guess in a different role. You know, I guess sometimes you put a wide receiver back for a Hail Mary so he can, like...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unique to baseball.
Okay.
All right, glad
When did they get so specialized in the... You know, I remember the days... Harvey Haddix, Bob Friend. I'm Pittsburgh. I'm Pirates, okay? I'm going to games, and I don't remember. I mean, they pitched until someone started hitting them, and then they came out.
Well,
right?
You know, that is not the case anymore.
I went and saw the Pirates play a doubleheader. Used to love doubleheaders against the Dodgers. And then Dodgers, Sandy Koufax pitched the first game, and Don Drysdale pitched the second game.
Come on.
And neither one of them, both of them pitched both games.
Pitched the whole game.
And they went home. That was the end of it. It wasn't.
There's two pitchers. Good night, everybody.
In two games.
Yeah. That's pretty
rare. Like Pete Rose used to say, you know, no one will break his record because these guys today, no one plays a full season. You know, no. I mean, the game has changed, I guess.
The managers really rely on the front office to talk to them about the percentages of what's it like for – are the percentages in our favor – to send our pitcher back up against their hitters for a third time. That's usually the bar that where a lot of people start. We've had a discussion about it all week. And like last night was a pretty good example of it, where if Boyd would have – how long would Boyd have gone if he had not allowed a couple people on in the fifth inning? Like, would he have been allowed to keep going? And that's one of those things where it becomes guts.
Help me out here. Didn't it backfire on the Cubs a couple games ago that they switched pitchers because they took the lefty out, or there was a lefty coming up, and they didn't like the matchup, and so they make the change, and next thing you know, we give up a home run. Lose the game.
It can always work like that.
Right.
It can always work like that, Coach. I think this could be a big week for your guy, Manangai. Kyle Manangai, your guy. You think he's going to get more usage coming out of the bye? Been wondering what's going to happen with the running game, and I'm hoping that Manangai gets some more play.
So do I, because I think he would help, and I think he would keep Swift healthy, and they could do certain things with him. And, you know, it's if they get a lead against Washington, you're not going to want to give that ball back to Jaden Daniels. You know, you might not care about giving it back to Geno Smith at the Raiders. You know, that may not keep you up at night. But I guarantee you, Jaden Daniels is keeping Dennis Allen up at night right now.
What are the challenges of Jaden Daniels?
Run pass, athletic ability, and decision making. Guy makes good decisions, I think. You know, I mean, he's the real deal in all aspects of it. And you see his manner. The guy's a leader. He's serious about his work. You know, the guy's a pro. For being a rookie last year, it really did amaze me at how mature, how he handled things on the sidelines, the adjustments that they had to have, how he was with the rest of the players. I mean, all those things that a quarterback has to do, he did a lot of them as a rookie. It was really, really pretty impressive.
His manner, that's interesting. What do you mean by that?
Never up and down, but yet always encouraged. You hear his press conferences. It's, you know, it's always the team this and the coaches this, and just very mature. You know, his mother, you know, he's got, he's just solid. He's solid. It's important to him. You hear some of the comments teammates make about him, in early, staying late, you know, all that type of stuff. I just thought it was good. I was impressed because I didn't know anything about the guy. You know, I mean, I really didn't before he started playing in the NFL.
He's fascinating case study. because there are a lot of people who are in the scouting department that think the more games you start in college, the more prepared that you'll be. And that's a bit of a switch because there are people going, hey, you know, this guy had an electric year. He's got top tier talent. We'll coach it out of him. But you look at the success of Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, two guys that I think both started over 45 games in college football. And you go, okay, is there something to the idea of giving a quarterback more reps in college and making them a better pro faster?
You know, back in the day, that reminds me, we wouldn't – NFL teams, we would pass on players if they were coming out as a junior because we wanted to see more. Just what you're talking about, Lawrence. You know what I mean? We wanted to see more. I remember when we drafted Curtis Conway, he came out early – and there was a real debate, and it's just because of the maturity and the reps and everything that goes along with it. But boy, you know, back in the day, to take a junior, a young player that could have played another year, teams were very hesitant of it. They wanted this. The more you can see, the better. The more there is to evaluate, the better opportunity the player has to shine and, you know, show his ability and so forth. So. There's something to that. I really, because then you either like him or you got a better feel for what you're getting. You miss on so many of these draft picks, and particularly quarterbacks, that by focusing in on a guy that's done it for four years, mm-hmm. you got a better feel.
You have any connections to this Commander's coaching staff? Got a history with Dan Quinn at all, or Kingsbury, or any of the assistants
Kingsbury,
on there?
Kingsbury, I know Cliff from when he was at Texas Tech. I was doing all the Fox College football. Mm-hmm. So I had some good discussions with him when he was at Texas Tech, and I'm sure I know three or four of those guys. I got to look at their roster.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Well, Dan Quinn is a defensive-minded head coach. Right. Joe Witt Jr.
Okay.
You know Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
And Larry Izzo is a special teams coordinator. Do you have him in Miami?
You know what? I had him at the Dolphins.
Yep.
And we had to make a decision. At that time, Larry was a damn good special team.
He's a great special teamer in New England as well as Miami.
And we had to make a decision between him and a kid who played at Miami, University of Miami. And honest to God, they were production-wise and everything, they were arm-in-arm about the same. You know, it was very close. And we said, well, let's take the guy that we know a little bit more. And that guy, like, lasted 1 year, and Larry played 10 years or whatever. You know, was an all-pro.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a bad decision. But, yes, I had Larry, and Larry's done a great job. But, you know, he started at the ground level, special team, assistant to the assistant to the assistant, then moved up, and then moved up, and then moved up, and now he's – you know, he's doing it.
Yeah, how about Bobby Engram, the wide receiver? Do you have Bobby?
Bobby ain't coach.
He did, right?
Speaks. Where did Bobby Engram play professional football?
Right here.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to remember the timeline. After you or before you.
I drafted Bobby in the second round out of Penn State.
Okay, that's a wide receivers coach there, yeah.
Yeah, and people were, can Bobby can he run fast enough? You know, one of those things. I'll tell you, Bobby Engram was probably as productive of a receiver how many years did he play in the league? I don't even know.
A lot of years,
and he was
like
12, smart.
Right?
He was smart, okay? Mm-hmm. And we used him on trick plays, and he was a punt returner, and he was a receiver. And he was a slot guy, and he could run reverses, and he could throw the ball.
Wow, 14 seasons.
14 seasons as a player. He's now in his 12th NFL season, third with Washington. He was at Wisconsin, famously, as the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin.
Yes, he was, yeah. I think I communicated to him. Now, Bobby was fantastic. No, So
Coach knows everybody. Well, that's a good staff that Dan Quinn's put together.
Yeah, I don't know. That's enough. I mean, we don't. Damn, why are we talking about Washington?
Because that's who we're playing this week, Coach. Trying to get a handle on what they do.
Let's talk about our coaches.
You want to go back to baseball?
Let's talk about the Bears.
I would love to know what you see when you look at the problems that the Bears have on run defense. What are you seeing?
Well, one, T.J. Edwards is not in there, okay? And they are trying to play, you know, some quarters. They're trying to bring the safety into the box and play an eight-man front, because when you play the eight-man front, you're probably going to be playing cover one, which is man coverage. And our corner situation has been beat up enough that you'd like to stay in zone if you could, you know, majority of the time, and that's what they were doing. So I think a lot of it had to do with personnel, you know, being cautious of not trying to give up the big play on defense. I think this week, TJ, and I think this week with Gordon coming back, I look for them to play Brisker more in the box area to stop the run. Watch that. Look at Brisker being at the line of scrimmage a lot more this week, and them playing a little bit more man, a little bit more pressure, and a little bit more, eight-man box.
See, that is very interesting defensive insight right there. Because I've been wondering, we know that Kyler is a great cover nickel, and we know that Kyler Gordon can blitz well, but you just took it to a place I was wondering, how does he help the run defense? Maybe by freeing up Brisker to support.
Exactly, and being able to play man coverage, which he can do. But, when you play that, and that's all we played was quarters coverage. We were 80% at the Dolphins, at the Bears, we were 80%. We didn't even play cover three. We played a little bit of cover one, but we would have our, the Mark Carriers of the world and Sean Gales. I mean, our safeties were support guys, and they were coming from 12 yards deep, but they were the extra run supporter, and you better have some defensive linemen that can stir it up if you're going
to
do that.
So this is interesting. So with Kyler, they're more likely to be able to play more man coverage.
Yes,
they probably feel good about Tyreek doing that, and now good about Kyler doing that.
Yep.
So that can change what Dennis Allen can do with run support.
100%. And then just having TJ Edwards in there, he's an everything linebacker, but he will get in there and stuff the run. So just having his presence and his toughness in there, it will make a huge difference. I mean, he's your leading tackler. I mean, that's what the guy does. That's what he does.
What are you going to draw up for us today?
Nothing. I'll draw up a sacrifice bunt or
something. But you know what?
There was no football games. What do you want me to draw? From Penn State?
Here's what I'd like.
Drop the onside kick?
Well, I mean, that Penn State-UCLA thing. Ooh, probably got one coach hired and got another coach in some deep water with his fan base.
Well, we got some games this weekend now. Indiana goes out to Oregon, okay?
Illinois, Ohio State.
And the Buckeyes, that's in Champaign.
It is.
Sure is.
That's right.
Alabama, Missouri.
We should talk about something here. Do we have to take a break or not?
Yeah,
we do.
What do you want to talk about?
When we come
back, we're going to talk some defense.
Yes, that's what I want you to draw up.
Well,
I wanted you to draw up what the Bears could look like with Kyler back, and what you mean by how they could have some stuff with Brisker coming down in the box, and what that looks like defensively.
I think that's a big, big deal. You hit on it. You obviously understand it well. That's a great call.
Yeah, but what I was going to talk about is just to hear me out here.
Okay.
In college football right now, Maryland is
we're good.
One of the top run defenses in the country, and they hired a defensive coordinator from the NFL who was at the Colts. When Jim Harbaugh hired Wink Martindale, longtime Giants defensive coordinator.
And a terrific game show host.
And coach, they are a top five defense, have been, in the NFL. The number one defense in college. The number one defense in college. And I have never – I've had number one defenses before, in NFL and college, with Miami and with the Cowboys. And we were five, I think, with the Bears, and we were four or five with the Dolphins when I was there.
Hmm.
So my point is I have not seen defensive numbers like Ohio State has with Matt Patricia being their defensive coordinator. And the only reason I bring it up is Matt Patricia, ex-NFL, three-time Super Bowl winner as Belichick's defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
This guy is doing a phenomenal job. Their quarterback is a freshman at Ohio State, Julian Sain, and he's only throwing the ball 20, 25 times a game. He's completing 80% of his passes. Ryan Day is just bringing them along slow, quarterback friendly, running the ball. because this defense, if you look at Ohio State's defensive numbers nationally, coach, it's insane. 25 points given up in five games.
Wow.
How's your math?
5 points a game.
Thank you.
This week, pretty good. Right,
take a break if you want, or whatever you guys got to do. I don't. What? Did I just talk through the break? I probably
no.
Did.
We're gonna
we'll
take
just keep
a,
talking. I'll,
no,
I'll
we'll,
drink.
No, we're you need best. A break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk defense, and if you feel so inclined to draw something up for us, that would be great as well.
And I got one more coach on the Washington staff. Oh, I gotta Lord. Ask
about. Who's that?
Ken Norton Jr.
Oh, seriously?
Yes!
He's my guy.
I know! It's Ken Norton Jr.
After we won the... I saw him at the Cowboys reunion. After we won that first Super Bowl...
Uh-huh.
Save this for Sunday, Coach. Don't finish it here.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, why don't we at least save it for the next segment?
Yeah, see, I got an
unbelievable story with Kenny Norton.
See, that's why we do this.
We'll do it next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Or
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Super Bowl 27, the Bills and the Cowboys, and we're delighted to have you with us.
Coach called a blitz. Kenny, it's your turn. I really like blitzing.
Two receivers right, Kelly back to throw.
Kind of went airborne and reached out to grab Jim Kelly.
Kelly having trouble getting away, and he is acting as if he's hurt. He got hit right on that bad right knee as Ken Norton came shooting through.
Well, this is a strategic blitz. Dallas not known as a particularly big blitzing football team, but they catch him in a dead spot here. This Dallas defense under Jimmy Johnson, Dave Wannstedt, who becomes the Chicago Bears football coach.
There's Wannstedt on lower right
with the mustache.
Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes it. What kind of a guy is this?
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Coach is here for another segment. Spiegs, you don't know how money you are. You brought up Ken Norton. I got a text message from a friend at Hallis Hall. It was like, guys, Ken Norton III is on our staff.
Oh, that's right. So Ken Norton Jr.
is in Washington, and Ken Norton III is the
I talked to him when I
quality control coach.
We talked to his dad. And I knew Senior would come to our practices at the Cowboys, the dad.
The boxer.
And, we had some great conversations. Yeah, but Kenny...
What's your Ken Norton Jr. story?
Well, we didn't draft Kenny. Kenny was there at Dallas when we got there. And he was one of the survivors, I'll put it that way. You know, and in the Super Bowl, Kenny Norton, he was playing three positions for me. He played the Sam linebacker, the Mike linebacker when we went to nickel, and he played the weak side linebacker if the matchup presented itself that we wanted over there with the running back. And after we win the Super Bowl, I had a lot of stuff, interviews to do because of the Bears stuff. So I was the last guy walking out of the locker room, and I walked on the bus, and who's sitting on the bus with his big cowboy hat? Just two of us. And it was a drive. You can imagine the traffic. It was in Pasadena, and we had to go all the way back to Santa Monica is where we're staying there at the Lowe's. So it was a long ride in traffic and everything. And Kenny and I were on the bus. We were the only two, and he knew I was leaving. And we had ourselves some beers and a few drinks, and it was special time, you know?
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Right before you came here.
It was right there. And then I saw Kenny. Obviously, we communicated a little bit when he was, you know, in the NFL. And then he went to college. He went back a little bit to USC, UCLA, bounced around. And I saw him at the Super Bowl reunion that we had in Dallas. And we were, you know, telling old war stories. It was all good.
Kenny III has a really interesting background. Played at Azusa Pacific. Then spent time working as an analyst for UCLA and spent a season with the Seahawks and has a master's degree in sports management, plus spent 3 years working at NFL Films.
Wow. That's interesting. That's quite a football.
That's very layered.
Quite an athletics family and football family.
It is. Great. Good people, too, from top to... Yeah, I've talked to the third up there every time I go up to Dallas, you know, about his dad and his... The whole bit, so it's all good.
I'm looking at Alex because Alex is in the other room.
He don't even know who Kenny Norton
is. No, but he's got a job to do. You drew some stuff up on the board.
Well, thanks, Jan.
That board's not going to hold itself.
Thanks to Jan.
Yeah, thanks to Jan is right there, Lawrence, because I was not going to do anything, and then my wife texted me and said,
hold the board.
You better text something for Lawrence, okay? So this is what we're doing.
Okay.
All right, those of you who are on Twitch or on YouTube, here we go.
And there's a lot of different ways to get into an eight-man front, but here's what you need to understand is that obviously when you bring a safety up, and this is Brisker right here, okay? This is our man Brisker.
Brisker on the left side of the defense, the right side of the offense.
Now, you can do it. Teams have done this where they've kept their linebackers in place and they've dropped the safety down into the A-gap or they've brought them inside. I don't know what the philosophy of Dennis Allen is. This is the way we would do it, okay? So, in essence, you're playing 4-for-4, and you really got them now because now if they want to run in this gap as example, you have one linebacker, two linebackers, okay?
If you're running in the B gap.
If you want to run in the B gap over here, you got one linebacker, two linebackers. If you want to run outside, okay, in the C gap, you got your end outside, you've got the safety, and you've got the linebacker. So you're pretty good from the standpoint of having all the gaps filled to stop the run. Here's the one catch, and I wrote pass there because now you're in man coverage. So if it's a play-action pass where the quarterback's going to throw it, now this is where guys have problems and why I was not a big man coverage guy. Because I wanted my linebackers coming downhill on the run. When they saw that running back starting to move up in the line of scrimmage, for example, right here, if that was the action right here by the quarterback, I wanted these guys coming downhill to stop the run. Well, obviously, if they don't give them the ball and it's a pass, now these guys could obviously lose their coverage.
And Coach, isn't that part of the reason why the fake work, the trick play that Ben Johnson had? Because they ran DeAndre Swift up to the middle of the line. The linebackers came down attacking. They were in man on the backside of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it ends up being a big play.
Great point, Lawrence. So that's what can happen. So you're telling, and the real guy that has to know it, that's why we would line up like this, is your safety, because you're telling him he's a run guy, but if this tight end does this and goes out for a pass, that's your man, because you got the corner on him, you got the nickelback Kyler Gordon on him, you got a Stevenson on him, you got a free safety. So the strong safety, he's playing run and pass, but he's playing it from 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, not way back there. So that's your advantage of if you want to stop the run of playing an eight-man front.
So what's interesting is that Dennis uses two linebackers a lot. So if it's just two backers and the nickel, then the strong safety can actually give you the equivalent of the third backer in a more traditional set, right?
Correct.
So we'll see.
We'll see what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and Gordon is this nickel guy right here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's but I would guess that Gordon would be here because he's a good run player. And then you go from there, you know.
Coach, we always love it when you do that. Thank you very much. Thanks, Alex. Great job by Alex yet again.
Excellent stuff, Alex. Yeah.
Showing that he really has excelled at being someone who can hold the chalkboard.
Damn fine chalkboard holder right there. I wonder if does nickel mean that he's going to chase a specific guy. I guess I'm thinking about Deebo Samuel, who they use all over the place. I wonder if there's any correlation between those two players.
No, Deebo's, I don't know. No, nickel doesn't mean that. Right. Nickel's just a guy that's on the slop. They could play man, they could play zone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got some picks for us, Coach?
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wannstedt.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
All right, I got Dallas to win. Dallas on a little bit of a roll, okay, to beat Carolina. My man Jim Harbaugh last week was a shocker, right? They go to Miami, but Miami, they don't have anything going. I'm taking the Chargers. I'm taking Dallas. I'm taking Seattle to beat Jacksonville. And lastly, I'm on the Bears. I don't know. I think that's a pick'em game, and I'm a little bit of a homer. I'll say that. So I'm going to take the Bears.
Why else are you on the Bears?
Just because I think that I think they got the week off, and I think they're going to do a couple things new that Washington isn't ready for. You know, I got confidence in Ben. I got confidence in Caleb. I just think the Bears are going to win the game. It's going to be a close one, and it's going to come down probably to the fourth quarter, and whoever has the ball last could win this game.
Bonus pick.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wannstedt. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Bonus pick, Coach. Cubs or Brewers, game 5.
Wow. Oh, I'm going to go with the Cubs. You know, I don't know who's pitching or who's hitting or doing what, but I'm taking the Cubs with momentum. I haven't seen the Cubs pitch and hit like they did
last night.
They played a real good game, Coach.
They played a real good game.
They did.
And why can't they do it twice? I mean, right now, and I'll tell you the final reason. The Cubs are going up there to Milwaukee. Think about it. They're playing with house money right now. And the Brewers, they're the team that's got the pressure on them. They won the division, right?
Yep.
They won the division.
By a lot.
They're playing at home. Everything is on their back. The pressure is on them. And the Cubs should go up there, and like I said, you're playing with Haas money. Play loose and go.
Yeah, you know, we're going to talk next hour a little bit about a shift from team to team, and I believe manager to manager, in terms of comfort level and in terms of pressure. But you just teased it. We don't know who's pitching either. Ron Coomer has some thoughts on who might be pitching for the opposition.
Yeah, we can do all of that. Coach, we appreciate you stopping by. Thanks. We'll see you soon, and we'll see you at Four Winds Casino on Sunday.
Sunday I'll be there. And, yeah, then next week we'll be talking, hopefully, a Bears victory over Washington. And
Coach, 3-2 off a bye with a win in Washington would really get this town cooking.
It would. Combine that with a Cubs win, what more do you want?
I agree. The NLCS, by the way, would start Monday night. So you have Cubs, Dodgers, and Bears, Washington going on the same night.
Come on. Yep. Seriously?
Out in L.A.
Are the Blackhawks or Bulls playing?
Probably. But the thing is that we talked with Nico earlier. He's like, yeah, we packed our bags for L.A.
Damn,
we're
right.
Ready to go to L.A. because if we win, we're getting right on the plane after the game and going to L.A. So
interesting.
So here's hoping we get a fun.
You know, I've been very impressed with Turner. I told you guys, you know.
Justin Turner?
Yeah.
Your guy?
When they signed him, I wasn't sure, but I watch a lot of things because I'm not a baseball expert, but I watch a lot of things when players are coming in the dugout and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is talking to everybody. He's almost like a coach, player coach, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not.
You're right,
I think that's exactly what he is.
But I kind of get that impression.
Older guy who's won a ring.
He's been there. It looks like the guys respect him for the most part.
Big time.
And he's good with these young guys. I like that hire. I wasn't sure how it would work out. Forget about his production, but I think he's bringing something to this team. I really do.
The Bulls do not play on Monday. The Blackhawks do. They play against a mammoth. One mammoth.
The Utah Mammoth?
It's just one mammoth. It's just one giant animal that's out there.
Fill up the net.
Blackhawks can beat that mammoth.
Well, They're still rebuilding over there.
How woolly it's is fine. That?
They are a mammoth, though, man, of a hockey club.
They are.
Yeah. Now, I just like picturing the one giant animal out there.
When we come back, who should the Brewers start? Coombs got some thoughts on it. He's going to work it through with you next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Something that you can't force, you know what I mean? Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field, you know what I mean? And the Cubs earned it. They had their backs against the wall, and they played great these last two games. They pitched great. They played great. They played great defense. They hit in the clutch. They hit homers. They're built to be great.
Super interesting dynamic with Pat Murphy, that man, the Brewers manager, and his former player at Notre Dame, his mentee, who then became his boss in Milwaukee and taught him a lot about Major League Baseball as a manager. And now they go against each other, and the Brewers are the superior organization over the last 7 years and the superior team on the big league level this year. But they did lose the season series 7-6, and now their five-game playoff series comes down to tomorrow night.
So who's going to start for the Brewers? Ron Coomer was on with Mully and Haw today, and he worked through the problem. Here's what it sounded like.
I looked yesterday, Mike, just the, you know, kind of the simplest thing you can do. I just went online as I'm, you know, doing all the research for the games, and I'm like, okay, just look at their depth chart of their club. Okay, let's look at their roster, and if we win and you pitch Peralta, what do they do? Because they've had two bullpen games now in this playoff against us.
Yeah.
Game two, full bullpen game. Then they go with Priester. That didn't work. He's out in the first inning, so now you got a second bullpen game. I think what you're saying is exactly right. I think you have to lean on that young kid, Mizraki, to give you serious innings, you know, and I think Q is going to play a big factor too. Quintana, you know, you'd probably, because of his experience, I would say Murph will probably start him if you're concerned about that Mizraki, you know, like the crowd and just getting him too much into a frenzy where he can probably come into the game out of the pen. But that's my take. When I looked at their depth chart and I started, you know, evaluating where they're at, and then with the innings that all these guys have thrown now in this playoff, you know, I think that's the one and two, you know, and you could flip them either way, you know, however he likes that situation for them. But I think that's the one and two. I really do.
So Coom thinking Jose Quintana might get the start and Jacob Mizorowski perhaps to also get a long stint. That's the kid who throws 103, 104. Quinn Priester pitched so little in game three down here at Wrigley that he's probably an option too.
Yeah, you would imagine that you need a cycle of batters. He could probably get you through that and maybe more.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting thing. When they lost Brandon Woodruff and he was unable to be on this roster, they lost another big-time starting pitcher horse, and they came into this series really with just two starting pitchers fully stretched out and ready to go in Priester and Peralta. And then they didn't use Priester in two. They tried to use Priester. So It's a funky spot that Pat Murphy finds himself in.
Maybe we'll find out within the next hour or so what the decision is, because both managers are going to talk in a little bit. And we'll share.
You're welcome.
That creep can roll. Who do you think should start for the Cubs?
Yeah, dude, this is fascinating. It really is, because you've got Shota Imanaga as a possibility. You got Colin Ray as a possibility. You got an opener as a possibility. Colin Ray last night in the clubhouse was asked, are you starting in game five? And he said no. So he knows it's not him. I would assume that it's Shota, but they could go opener. But I'll tell you what I'd like to see is the dramatic possibility that you and I brought up yesterday. We'll find out in the next hour if Cade Horton is going to throw his bullpen session today.
If Mike Soroka's back hurts real bad?
My back! It hurts!
My neck and my back. I need a bacchiotomy.
Hey, let's skip Cade Horton's bullpen and ask him to start and give you two innings tomorrow. Maybe three innings. See how it goes. You'd have to come up with an injury, like you say.
My back!
And then the Brewers and the commissioner both would have to be okay with you saying that either Mike Soroka or Ben Brown is hurt. But here's the thing, and there was heated conversation yesterday in the clubhouse amongst, well, they can't do that. The commissioner wouldn't allow that. It's the playoffs. I'm like, how's he supposed to stop him? Soroka probably has inflammation.
Sure. Every pitcher does.
At this point?
Every pitcher does. We're going to do an MRI on Michael's shoulder.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
So
and you know what we found?
Yeah.
A lot of inflammation and scar tissue.
You know, this morning before we left, we did an MRI on Mike Soroka's shoulder. We found some scar tissue. So we're going to go ahead and activate Cade Horton. What if that happens in the next 30, 40 minutes?
That would be hilarious.
Dude, it would not only hilarious, but you talk about pressure rising up even higher and fun and intrigue rising up even higher. Let's go.
And we did an X-ray on Cade Horton and found out he got that dog in him. So he's going to be starting game five.
All right. Lawrence is killing me today. There's that. We did an X-ray on Cade Horton and found out he got that dog in him.
Got a dog in him.
And then what'd you say that Pat Murphy said to the media last night about the Wrigley crowd?
He scared them kids. Y'all scared them kids. Bleep them kids. That's what you're supposed to do.
The texter said they were screaming
bullying them hoes.
Yeah, the fans were bullying them hoes. They're screaming Cheerios at Jackson Cheerio. Like screaming Cheerios and Cereal Man. Where's Tony the Tiger? Just like that kind of stuff. And he was done with it. So they said by the end of the game, that kid was done with it.
Can't imagine why.
I can't.
You're just sad that the White Sox fans are never that clever.
Hey, what is this about?
I know,
you're the
right?
One that brought
what
it there.
Is that?
You're the one. You're the one.
Hey, that's not what PCA says. He says they're very clever.
Tanny's been rooting against the Cubs, and it's been obvious for days and
it's
days.
Not true.
Yeah, I've done
I'm rooting
Wednesday.
Against playoff baseball in general. Especially on a Monday night game. He's got football in the mind.
Tanny, you know you'll be locked in on the Blackhawks playing against
Hey, I'm
mammoth.
Going tomorrow night. I'll get my fill tomorrow night.
Oh, so. You are?
Yeah, you keep acting like Tanny doesn't love hockey.
I know he does.
He really does.
I know. I was serious. Plus,
no, you were not.
You got to see a mammoth on skates on Monday night.
That's right.
Four really big skates on each leg of the mammoth.
When we come back, a guy that will have to toggle his love for one team with his coverage of the other. Dan Wiederer joins us next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.